on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amid Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Om Rab Yosi Ketzad Hala Ose Schora Bepagasa Shal Chavero El Atachse Par Lebailim. How could it possibly be that the socher is going to make a profit by collecting the funds that are being paid, the compensation for the para, when the shoel has to pay because mesa kidarka? Omar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmua Halacha Kirab Yosi. We paskin like Rabbi Yosi, and therefore it means that the shoel will have to pay directly to the mafkin, to the bailim, not to the socher. Omar Le Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Le Rabbi Yehuda Amritlan Mishmei De Shmuel Cholak Hoya Rabbi Yosi. And here we turn to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Af Birishona, even as far as the first Mishnah back on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, that a shomer who decides to pay and he doesn't want to take the shvua, he zocher b'kefel, and when they locate the ganav and he has to pay kefel, he pays to the shomer, not to the mafkid. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with this as well, and he says ketzad zed noten kfelo shel chaver l'toch kiso shelo. How could it be that the ganav pays kefel for the animal that belongs to the mafkid, and that kefel goes into the pocket of the shomer, but rather yachzer kefel abailim, the kefel should be paid to the mafkid. He owns the para, and he collects the kefel. It's halacha kemoso, ein halacha kemoso. Once you're paskening like Rabbi Yossi, with regard to our Mishnah, that there's no way that somebody can make a profit on someone else's animal, but rather the money has to be paid to the bailin, to the mafkin, to the owner of the animal. Should we therefore paskin like Rabbi Yossi and reject the halacha of the Mishnah Rishona, namely, if the shomer decides to pay, does he now acquire the kefel? Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda turns to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, and he says to him, Cholakoyer Rabbi Yossi, Af Berishona, Valocha Kemoso, Af Berishona. We should be consistent, and we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, even with regard to the kefel. The shomer is not kona. The kefel is paid to the bailim. Itmar Nami. We also learned the name of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar cholakoyer Rabbi Yossi af perishona malach kmoso af perishona. The Gemara feels that this is going a little bit too far to reject the Mishnah of Shomer Kona Kefel completely. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Modoy Rabbi Yossi Barishona Shekvar Shilem. Rabbi Yossi could agree in the case of the Shomer because he already paid out of pocket for the lost animal, that therefore he was Kona the animal as far as Kefel is concerned. The Pikadon came into his hands and now he's paying for the Pikadon, and therefore he's zocher b'kefel. Even Rabbi Yossi could agree that's not like the case of the socher, who has no ownership rights over the para in order to collect the tashlume apara, the compensation for the para from the shoel. The Gemara asks a question, shilem in, lo shilem lo. We had discussed at great length in the sugya back on Lamed Gimel that according to the Mishnah, it doesn't, and this was Rabbi Yochanan's insight, that it doesn't matter whether or not the shomer actually paid out of pocket and the money was transferred into the bank account to the mafkid. The very fact that the shomer was willing to pay, that willingness itself is kona kefel. On behalf of the shomer, v'homer abchia, v'homer Rabbi Yochanan, lo shilem shilem mamish, el kevin sha'omar, Hareini Mishalim Afal Pishlo Shilem, he's Kona Kefel at the very moment that he declares his willingness to pay. Amos says the Gemara, Modai Rabbi Yossi Brishona Shekvar Omar Hareini Mishalim. If we want to reconcile the Hodas Baldin of Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi also went as far as accepting Rabbi Yochanan too, Shomer's Kona Kefel as soon as he declares his willingness to pay. And the Shita Mekubetzes says that we actually paskin lahalacha, that is the final din. Because back on Daf Lamed Hey, Rav Nachman, in response to Rava, why wasn't the Shomer Zocha Bekipe in the case of the earrings? And the answer of Rav Nachman was that if the Shomer saves or spares the mafkid of having to go through the entire court process, the Tircha of Bezdin, then he gets Kefel. Right? But he didn't give him the answer, well, there's no Haknas Kefel. Fundamentally, Rav Nachman agreed that there is a Halach of Haknas Kefel. But the only problem is that since that case came into the hands of Bezdin, it went through the courts, and Rav Nachman had to paskin that when the Shomer said, I can't find the earrings, he's got to pay for that. And then they had to force him to pay by taking his mansion away, the Traklin, if you remember, back on Daf Lamed Hey. Therefore, Rav Nachman says, the Shomer is not Zoche to Kefel. He could have easily answered Rava's question by saying that the reason why I paskin that the Shomer is not Kona Kefel is because the Halacha is like Rav Yossi, that there's no din of Haknas Kefel. Apparently we do accept the Halacha Rav Yossi, and there is Haknas Kefel. That's the final maskana, which you'll see here also in the Shita Mekubetzes. Now, Rav Osai, we begin the new Mishnah here, Mirtz Hashem, on Daf Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph. And this Mishnah deals with the issue of Mamon Hamutal B'Safek, in a case where, for example, somebody stole money, but he's not sure from whom. Or, for example, somebody gave him a pikadon deposited in his hands, and he was a shomer, but he's not sure to whom he has to give back the pikadon. There's some confusion about who the mafkid was. Does he have to give to each one that's a safek or not? And is there a difference between whether so-and-so is toveya him and says, I was the mafkid, or I was the nigzal? And is there a difference between a chiyuv b'dinei adam and a chiyuv b'din shamayim? All this is going to be addressed by our Mishnah and the sugya that follows. Omar l'shnayim gazalti li'echad mikem mona. Reuven turns to Shimon and Levi and he says, I stole from one of you, either from Shimon or from Levi, a mona. Veini yodea mi'eze mikem. If we could add the word gazalti, I don't know from which one of you two gentlemen I stole. I'm willing to return and fulfill the obligation of Ashavas HaGzeil, but I don't know to whom. The Mishnah gives another scenario similar in the case of a mafkid. O Aviv shall echad mikem hifkid li mana. The father of one of you two gentlemen, either Shimon or Levi, deposited a sum of money, a mana, in my possession. I was the shomer, I was the custodian. V'eini yodea ezehu, I'm not sure who, which of you, whether it's the father of Shimon or the father of Levi, who deposited this money. So in these cases, we have a taina shema on the part of the nitba, right, that's the defendant. He's muchzok, but on the other hand, he himself doesn't know. His tain is a tain of shema. So if anyone comes forward and says to him, well, it's me that you owe money to, he doesn't know how to respond to that, because he doesn't simply know. And that's both in the case of Gazlan and in the case of a shomer, vis-a-vis the mafkin. So the Mishnah establishes, no sein lazeh mana, v'lazeh mana. He's going to have to pay both Shimon and Levi, even though he's paying double the amount that he stole or double the amount of money that he took as a shomer, but nevertheless he's got to get himself out of this suffix. Otherwise, what's hanging, hovering over his head is a suffix that he's holding on to someone else's mammon. And the Mishnah adds, Shahoda mipi atzmo. Now, what we're going to see later on is that Hoda mipi atzmo means that he wants to come forward the Gazlan or the Shomer wants to come forward and do and make amends and rectify his Avera and save himself from any sort of punishment in Shamayim, and he's asking us what we recommend. What should we tell him? What advice should we give him to avoid any sort of punishments whatsoever? So we tell him, buddy, you have to guarantee that you cover your bases here, that you get yourself out of any doubt. So pay each one of them. Again, it's not clear what they're saying. You know, is one person coming forth and saying, I was the nigzal, you stole from me. Both of them are saying, I was the nigzal. We don't know. Also, keep in mind, the Mishnah gives a strange case in the case of Mafkid. It's not that the Shomer comes to two people and say, one of you two deposited money in my custodianship, but rather one of your fathers did it. Well, why the Mishnah come up with that more complicated case? The Mishnah continues, Shnayim shefkidu etzel echad. Now we have a case where two people come together, and it seems, the impression you get is they came simultaneously. One of them gave the shomer only a mana, the other one gave him twice that amount, masayim. And now each one of these mafkids, each one of the owners, comes forward and says, Zeh omer shalim masayim, I gave you the 200. This seems to be more like a tainas bari. But on the other hand, when these two people came together and they both, almost as one in unison, deposited the money, did they trust each other? Like, it's a very strange kind of case. They trusted each other, but yet now they're fighting over the Messiah. So the Mishnah Paskins, no sin lazem mana v'lazem mana. There's no question that the Shomer owes each one of these two mafkidim at least a mana. Because Sacha Kol, he received 300 zuz. Now 100 and 100 he has to divvy up. Vashar, but what about the 300? Yehi munach ad sheyavo elyo. That should sit in suspension until Elyo can tell us which one of these two mafkidim who are claiming ownership on the third mana is the true, genuine owner. That's what Elio is going to have to clarify. Now, the Rambam says in his psak that he adds the word li'olam, very interesting word that the Rambam adds. We have ye'munach ad sheyavo elyo, the Rambam has ye'munach li'olam. And some of the mefarshim on the Rambam want to suggest that the Rambam doesn't mean li'olam mamish. It doesn't mean forever and ever. Elio is going to come. The Rambam doesn't deny that. And clarify who owns this third mana. But what he means is li'olam for a long period of time. And the hope is that by holding on to this money, withholding it from the claimants, one of the claimants is going to come forward and he's going to admit the truth that he was the Rami and it's not really his. Now, Rashi and Tosafot have a discussion here about why we don't apply the principle of Yachloku to split the mana shlishi like the case of Shnayim Ochsin Vitalis. Rashi, back on Daf Beis, says that we don't apply Yachloku in a case where there's a Vadei Ramai. If one of them is certainly lying, like Zelmer Anir Aktia, we suspend the law of Yachloku. We don't want to give a Vadei Ramai half of the money's that they're fighting over. But Tosus, back on Daf Beis, Divrei Maskil Yachloku, says that we don't say Yachloku unless it's a Chaluka Yecholo Lios Emes. Like, for example, maybe they both picked up the talis simultaneously. Here in our case, Tosus would say it's impossible to apply the principle of Yachloku because we know for sure that this Chaluka is not Emes. We know for sure that the third mana belongs to one of these two, not to both of them. And we're going to see later on, Amir Tzashem, that there's a machlokas aposkim. What happens if the mafkidim do not come forward with a tainas bari? According to Tosfos, maybe in such a case, we could say yachloku. And maybe even according to Rashi, if there's no Vadei Ramai here, because again, if the Mafkidim do not have a Tainus Bari, then who's the Ramai over here? They themselves are confused. They don't remember, did I give you the Masayim? Did I not give you the Masayim? In any event, Amar Rabbi Yossi says, wait a minute, Yehi Munach is a very powerful rabbinic institution which is used for a specific goal. And that is to make sure that we get the Ramai to come forward, or at least to hope that the Ramai will come forward and confess his Ramos. Amar Rabbi Yossi im Kain, but if each one, you know, Shimon and Levi are each going to get back a mana, and the mana shlishi is the one that's confiscated and put into the safe deposit box till Eliyahu comes. Ma'ayv said Ramai. You know, you're not offering any motivation for the Ramai to come forward and admit that he only gave a mana and not Masayim. Ela, but rather, Hakol Yeh Munach Ad Sheyavo Eliyahu. Take all three manos and freeze them, because then the Ramai is going to say, you know what? I'm losing a mana here. I gave him a mana. Okay, I lied a little bit when I said I gave him a sign, but I want my mana back. And the Ramai might come forward and confess his Ramos. So just to summarize the machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi regarding Yehi Munach is whether or not we have to create a situation where we're going to be mafsid the Ramai, that's Rabbi Yossi, or no. The Shomer, the Nifkat, is obligated to return at least a mana for sure to each one of them, that he has that obligation he has to fulfill. And not only that, if you're going to say Yehi Munach on the entire sum, then one of these two gentlemen, who's an honest fellow, is going to lose his mana. So it's very nice that you want to move or motivate the Ramai to come forward and confess, but on the you know, that may or may not happen, and at what expense? You're actually removing a mana that rightfully belongs to someone. V'chein, the Mishnah says there's a similar din in the following case. Shnei Kelim, there were two different utensils that were deposited in the hands of a shomer. Echad yofeh mana, v'echad yofeh elef zuz. One is worth only 100 zuz, the other is worth 10 times that price, 1,000 zuz. Now, each one of these two mafkidim comes to the nifkad to claim his pikadon. Zeomer yofeh shalihu. The one that's worth 1,000 zuz is mine. Zeomer yofeh shalihu. Each one's claiming he gave the kli that's so expensive it's worth 1,000 zuz. And the Mishnah paskins, again, the same machlok between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, that according to Tanakhama, no saying es hakaton li'echad mehem, he's got to give the less expensive kli to one of them. Let's say he gives it to Shimon, and that's worth a mana. Umitoch hagadol, and from the more expensive kli, which was worth 1,000, no saying to make katon l'sheni, he gives 100 mana to Levi, and Vashar Yemunach Ad Sheyavo Eliyahu. The other 900 zuz of the 1,000 zuz kli is going to be left until Eliyahu comes. The Nifkat certainly has to fulfill his basic obligation and return that which he definitely has to return. On that which he doesn't know to whom to return, we're going to say Yemunach. We're not going to say Yachloku, as we said before, because there's a Vadei Ramai here, V'ena Chaluki Yechol Lios Emes. We're not going to force the Nifkad, the Shomer, to pay the full sum to both of them and suffer that loss. Again, maybe because the Nifkad trusted them naively that they would work this all out between them, I don't know. But Rabbi Yossi came Mahim Sid Ramai. If the Ramai is getting back his 100 manos worth, then what's going to motivate him to come forward and confess his crime? The entire, both kelim have to be tied up here. Now, just on a technical level here, What does it mean that the second kli, which is in this case the expensive kli, is d'mei katan l'sheni? We're going to take out 100 zuz worth from that kli that's worth 1,000 zuz. What does that mean? Rashi, Vibra Maskel Mitoch, says Yishavrena. That's about 10 lines down from the top of the page. And it sounds like Rashi's saying that we take the kli, which is worth, I guess, in its metallic content, or maybe it's, I don't know what it's made of. Hopefully it's not made of glass, because glass, if you break it down, it's, you know, it's worthless. But the metal parts that make up this kli, each one has a certain value. So we can actually break the metal kli and take a piece of metal that's worth 100 zuz and give it to Levi. The Rashi and the Ran disagree with Rashi, and they're of the opinion that what the Mishnah has in mind is that we sell the logic kli and we divide up its value. And the only question is, according to the Ran and the Rashi and the Ran, what does it mean, hifsid ramai? Rashi fits in a little better here. He has the upper hand, because hefsid here is clear. By breaking a kli, even though its component parts may be worth something on the market, that certainly is not commensurate. It's not a true, accurate fraction of the value of the kli itself as a whole healthy kli. According to the Rashi and the Ran, we're going to have to say that the hefsid here is because the Bala Kli doesn't get his Kli back. You know, he's getting the value of the Kli, it's Domin, but he wants the Kli itself. The Gemara starts by analyzing what is the principle that this Mishnah accepts with regard to Safek Mama. And the Gemara says the following: Alma, what we see from this Mishnah is, but again, we'll have a stira within the Mishnah, but from the Mishnah it seems that Misfeka Mafkinan Mamona, that if we go back to the Reisha insists that the Gazlan or the Shomer, the Nifkat, has to pay all of them. He's got to give each one a mana. And the question is, why is that so? V'lo amrinan uki mamona b'cheskes mare l'chora. We would have said in terms of the universal principles of dini mamonis, that a person who's muchsak, he's in possession, the burden of proof is not on him to prove that he doesn't have to pay. But if somebody wants to establish that he does have to pay, the burden of proof and the responsibility of evidence is on the person who's motzi mecheskas, who wants to force him to pay up. And in these cases of gazlan and pikado, there doesn't seem to be any proof, any evidence that's adduced by either nigzal, either one of these two potential nigzolim, or in the case of mafkidim, to the effect that they deserve this money. So why not leave the money in its possession, in the hands of the gazlan or in the hands of the nifkad, and apply the principle of a motzi mechaver ol varaya? And the only lechora answer to this question would be that bari v'shema lav bari odif. This is a major plukta in the Bavis. It's also back in Masechet Ksubis. If the Tovea comes forward with a definite claim, that's a tainas bari, and the nitba, the defendant, is uncertain, his taina is a taina shema. So we have one man yomer who says bari v'shema bari odif, and l'chora, that shita who says that bari, a tainus bari, is strong enough to be motzi mamon mecheskas a tainus shema, that would fit like a glove, l'chora, with our Mishnah, because it's each one of these two tovim, we'll call them Shimon and Levi, are coming forward with a tainus bari and saying, you, Reuven, stole a mana from me, or it was my father who gave you that mana and deposited it in your hands. He, Reuven counters with the Taina Shama. Ani yodea izu mikem. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Is bari v'shema, bari odif. That could explain why lo amrin uki mamona b'cheskas mare. Now, one of the Rishonim, it's called Miyuchas L'Ritva. It's not really the Ritva. We're not sure exactly who it is. Maybe it's the Ra'ah. He writes that our sugya right now understands that this Mishnah, the Reish of our Mishnah, applies even in Shema V'Shema. Which means that not only is the Gazlan in doubt and uncertain about who from whom he stole, but even the Nigzolim are not sure that it was from them, each one respectively, for Shimon and Levi, that they were the Nigzolim. That's called Shema V'Shema. Which means that the Gemara's problem here about, you know, what happened to Uki Mamona B'cheskas Mari applies even according to the Mandi Omar, Bari V'Shema Bari Odif. Because in this case of Shema V'Shema, everybody agrees that Uki Mamona B'cheskas Mari. You know, you're in doubt if I owe you. I'm in doubt if I owe you. You're in doubt if I owe you, and I'm in doubt if I owe you. So what do? Is uki mamona b'cheskas mare. And as the Mishnah, as the Gemara is going to point out, the Mishnah in the very next, in the Sefer is predicated on that assumption that the, you know, that the Nifka doesn't have to give masayim to each one. However, in the real Ritva, he interprets that our Gemara has a problem because we're talking about a case of Tvias Bari, where each one, each Nigzal, or each son of a Mafkid is coming forward with a definite Taina. And therefore what we have here in our Mishnah is Bari V'Shema, and then the Kasha of the Gemara is only going to be, the problem is only going to be the Man Yomar who says Bari V'Shema, Lav Bari Yadif. If you take a look at Tosis Divir Amaskel Gozal on the top of our daf, he wants to suggest that our sugya is not similar at all to the sugya of Bari V'Shema. And even according to the Mandi Omer who says Bari V'Shema Lav Bari Adif, it's very possible that here you should be chayiv to pay to each one of them because there's a definite chiv to one of them. In other words, if you come to me with a tainus Bari, then I say Shema. I don't know. Do I owe you? Do I not owe you? Did I borrow money from you? I don't know if I ever borrowed money from you. You're claiming I borrowed money from you. So that's called Bari V'Shema Lav Bari Od. Your tainus Bari, which is not supported by any objective evidence, is not strong enough to be Motzi Mami Micheskoso. But here, the Gazlan himself, or the Nifkat himself, admits that he owes a mana. You know, this mana that he's holding on to is not his. He doesn't know to whom he has to return that mana. In such a case, even if I hold Bari V'Shema Lav Bari Adif, here we would say that Bari V'Shema is Adif. And why? Because there's an assumption, there's a definite assumption of a Chiyuv. The Nitba, the defendant, definitely owes the money. The question is to whom he owes the money. In any event, just to summarize, the Miuchasim L'Ritva wants to suggest that our problem exists even if I hold Bari V'Shema Bari Adif because it's a Shema V'Shema situation. The Ritva himself says that our Gemara is based on Bari V'Shema and it's a cash on the mind. The other one says Bari V'Shema Lav Bari Adif. Tosas wants to suggest that forget about the whole sugi of Bari V'Shema. Even according to Mani Omer, who says Bari V'Shema Lav Bari Adif, that's because there's no Cheskas Chiyuv, there's no Vadei Chiyuv. Here in our case, there's a Vadei Chiyuv. And that's why we're not going to say Uki Mamona Becheskas Mar. Fekta Gemara Veremini. Now let's take a look at the Sefer of our Mishnah. Shnayim Shefkidu Eitzel Echad. Zemona Bezemasayim. Zelmer Shalimasayim. Zelmer Shalimasayim. No sin la Zemona Vlezemona Vashar Yemuna Hachi Avolio. Now here's a case of a Sophic. Is he high of? Is Reuven Chayev, he's asking himself to Shimon or to Levi, right? To whom does he have to return this third mana? And we're not going to say that he's got to give that third mana to both Shimon and Levi, give 200 to Shimon and 200 to Levi. And we're not applying the principle that seems to apply and underlie the the premise that underlies our resha. Omar Le, now there's a girsia that you take out Omar Le because the Gemara doesn't record any dialogue of a maksha and a specific person. But anyway, the Gemara answers, Pikadon Agezel Karamis? You're asking Akasha from the Resha to the Sefer. The Resha is a case of Gezel. And there in the case of a Safek, the Gazan has to return to both possible Nigzolim to get himself out of a Safek. And that has nothing to do with the case of two mafkidim, one gave him asayim, the other gave him a mana. That's not a comparable case to Gazlan. And why is that so? So the chilik is that Gezel, the Ovid Isura, you yourself violated an Isur Gezel, you got to get yourself out of that suffix if you want to rectify and protect yourself from any sort of punishment. Now the language here is Kansu Rabbanan, as if to say that he has to get out of this suffix mitzad din bin knas. That also is a girsa that's problematic. The Tosa Rush takes that girsa out. Here we're talking about a chiyuv. He wants to prevent himself, this gazlan, from any punishment of Yidei Shamayim. This is not a knas, not a knas to Rabbanon. But pikadon to love Avad Yisura lo kansu Rabbanon. In the case of pikadon, where the Shomer is unsure, uncertain who was the mafkid, he didn't violate any Isur. Now, it's a little bit odd that the Gemara assumes here at this point, which the Gemara is going to reject in just a second, but right now to understand the mahalach of the Shaka V'Tayra, that the Gemara thinks that this principle of having to get himself out of the suffix and return to each one of them is only by gzela, not by pikadon. In the very same resha, it says explicitly, no sin lezeh mona lezeh mona, in the case of a mafkit. Right? He's not sure which father, the father of Shimon or the father of Levi, who gave him this pikadon, and he's got this mona, and he's got to give a mona to each of them. So that's a bit strange. You know, what was the Makshan himself aware of the Resha only with regard to Gzela, not with regard to Pikadon? The Gemara's teretz in the Shak of Tari is even more bizarre, because in the original Kasha, the Makshan that this Taritzin is coming to respond to, he said, Alma Misveka Mafkinin Mamona. Is he referring to the Gazlan case in the Resha or to the Pikadon case in the Resha? Why did he assume it was a reference to the Gazlan case? The Ritva says that the Taritzin understood that the Kasha was from both Pikadon and Gezel, and his answer was, Pikadon a Gezel Karamasin, meaning you shouldn't have asked me a Kasha from Gazlan, you should have only asked the Kasha from Pikadon. That's how the Ritva interprets the Taritzin here. Virami Pikadon a Pikadon. In other words, the Taritzin is sort of straightening out the Maksha and saying to him, well, you asked from both Gezel and Pikadon, you should have asked just from Pikadon, because Gezel is not a Kasha. The fact that the Gazan has to give to both Shimon and Levi, that's because of Isura. But in the case of Pikadon, now we have a Stira clearly between the Sefer of the Resha and the Sefer. And in this cache of Pikadon, we say that if the Nifka doesn't know who gave him the Masayim, he's not obligated to give Masayim to both Shimon and Levi. And yet, in the case of the father, I don't know which, you know, the father of Shimon or the father of Levi, he has to give both of them a mana. Not only that, the Gemara goes even a step further. Rami Gezel a Gezel. We're going to introduce a Mishnah from Masechti Yevamos, the Mishnah of Rabbi Tav, Rabbi Kiva, which we're going to get to, Mirtz Hashem, and there we'll find a stira to our Mishnah of Gezel. And it's going to be Halacha of Meniach Bifneim, and that's it, Umistalik. He doesn't have to give the Gezela back to both of them, as it says in our Mishnah. But let's go step by step, and each kasha in its own time. Pikadon, pikadon, dekatani reisha, o aviv shel echad mikem, is hifkid etzli mon, v'eni yodea ezu nosen lezemon of lezemon. He's got to return a mona to each one in the case of the nifkad, or a mini, and yet the Mishnah in the Sefer says, shnayim shefkidu. and he doesn't know who gave him the masayim, he's got to give only a mana and a mana. The mana shlishi is yemunach. We don't say that he has to return masayim to each one of them. Amar Rava. Rava says that as far as pikadin, the stira between the reisha and the seifa, there's no stira. Why? Reisha, in the case of the reisha, what happens? There's one person, again, whether it's the father of Shimon or the father of Levi, we don't know, who gave him, Reuven, the Nifkad, a bag, you know, a sack full of Zuzim, which were worth a mana. Is Nasa Kemishif Kidu Lo B'Shnei Krichos. This is not like the case where two people come together in the Seifa, each one giving either a mana or Masayim. Here there's only one person who came, again, whether it's the father of Shimon or the father of Levi, and therefore there's there's no tainus p'tur here on the part of the Nifka. The Nifka can't hide behind any sort of claim. Havilei the Medak, on the contrary, the Nifkad is very guilty here, because when a person gives him money and asks him to hold on to that money, then he's got to write down on the bag whose money it is, or somehow he has to remember who gave him that money, because he has an obligation to return that money to its rightful owner. But Sefer, where does the Nifkad have a tainus p'tur, which alleviates him of being very negligent and very guilty, and he's not being medagdeg? That's because Nasa Kemishif Kidulo Bekrach Echad. These two people came together, Shimon and Levi, and it's as if, don't take this literally, but it's as if they put all the money, the sachakol 300 zuz, into one bag. If two people come together with one bag of coins, then the responsibility, so says the Nifkad, is not on my shoulders to know whether Shimon deserves the Masayim or Levi, who gave me the Masayim. That's not my headache, that's your headache. You gave it to me in one bag. You came together. And what that means is, says the Gemara, Kigon di afkidei travayu bahari adodi v'chadzimna. In other words, the Gemara says, don't take it literally that they poured all the coins into one bag, but since they came together at the same moment, and each one is present at that time, Zebifnezer, therefore the Nifkad has a tainus p'tur. You know, he relieves himself of the onus, the burden of responsibility. The Omer Lohu, he has the right to say to them, Ant gufaychu lo kabdisu adadi. You came together being mafkid one in front of the other, meaning you revealed to the other one that you're giving Masayim, meaning you trusted each other. You really relied on the fact that the one who gave the Masayim is going to collect the Masayim and demand the Masayim. The one who gave the money is only going to demand the mana. Ana kapidna. Do you expect me, demand of me, that I should be makpid and I should write in a ledger or on the bag that 200 goes to Shimon and 100 goes to Levi? I saw that you were relying one on the other, and therefore I didn't have to be makpid either. So therefore, since there's no tain against him, why doesn't he remember who gave him that third mana? Therefore, he doesn't have to. He's not obligated to pay the third mana to both Shimon and Levi. But rather, yemunach hachiyavo elio. Mashenkin, in the first case, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, where he doesn't know if it was the father of Shimon, father of Levi, there was only one person who gave him money, and he as a Nifkat has a responsibility to be cognizant and make sure that he knows and he remembers who gave him that money, to return that money. And in essence, what the Gemara is saying here is that as far as Pikadon in the Reisha is concerned, we have a similar case to the Reisha of the Reisha, namely the Gazlan case. Now, just like in the case of Gazlan, there's an element here of Knas. Again, we discussed that it's not really a Knas, but it's Avad Isura. Here too, even in the case of Pikadon, if a person gives you Pikadon, you don't remember who gave it to you, you're worthy of a Knas. You're like a quasi-Gazlan over here if you don't know to whom to return it. You weren't medagdic, you didn't make sure that you would remember who gave you the money. And therefore, the reisha of the Mishnah is very consistent. It's one case, really, with just two, you know, one principle with two permutations, if you will. And therefore, the Gemara really is, in its explanation now, of Nasik Mishif Kidulo B'Shnei Krichos, is really reiterating its original answer that it gave Gabi Gezel, that there's a Knas that is imposed on the Goslin to pay back to both of them. And here too, in the case of the Nifkad, there's a Knas that's imposed on the Nifkad, the Shomer, to return the Mona to both of them, to both Shimon and Levi. Fine, so Ad Kan HaKof Aleph, we now have both presented the stira of Pikadon and Pikadon, the Reish and the Sefer, and we've given an answer to reconcile the difference. Now, what's Rami Gezel HaGezel? There's no inner stira in the Mishnah, Lechora, as far as Gzel is concerned. But the answer is, here we have to stretch our arm out to a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Yevamos. Verami Gezel Gezel Katani Yacha, here in our Mishnah Bava Metzia, Amar L'Shnayim Gazalti Liechad Mikem Mona. V'eini Yodeis Mikem O Av Shalecha Mikem Hivkid Li Mona. V'eini Yodeis Mikem No Sein L'Zeh Mona V'L'Zeh Mona. If you have a suffix from whom you stole the money, you have to guarantee that there will be no suffix by giving back to both of them. Uramini, but what do we do with the Mishnah in Yevamos? And this is the Mishnah of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Gozal echon mehem, echon michamisha, v'eini yodeis mehem gozal. He stole from one of five people. Boy, that's going to cost him a pretty penny. Zelmer osi gozal, zelmer osi gozal. Each one of the five is claiming that you stole from me. Is meniach zel b'neim umistalik divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says he doesn't. He's not allowed to pocket the money that he stole. But on the other hand, you were not going to multiply it by 5 or by 50,000 and say pay to every single Joe that comes along and says you stole from me. He puts the money between them and he's mistalik. Now, exactly what that means, we're going to find out on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, that it should be left until Elio could clarify who is the Nigzal. But it doesn't really mean that he puts it in front of them and they beat each other up until, you know, until one of them is the you know, is the star boxer. That's not what it means. But in any event, Alma, what we see from Rabbi Tarfon in the Mishnah in Yevamos is Misveka Lomaf Kiner Mamona. We don't say that vis-a-vis each one of the Tovim, Ruven the Gazlan is obligated to cough it up because he has a suffix vis-a-vis each one of them. But rather, Lomaf Kidim Mamona, we say that the suffix is not enough to force him to have to pay. But rather, Vamrinon, we say, Ukim Mamona Becheskes Mare, vis-a-vis each one of them. So that now we have a stira, because our Mishnah, again, we don't know that that our Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Tarf, but assuming it does, as the Gemara is going to clarify soon, then why does it say in our Mishnah, Gazalti Lechem Michem, he's going to have to pay each one of them, which means that Misveka Mafkina Mamona, which is the exact opposite of Rabbi Tarfon says in Yevamos. So the Gemara first asks, wait, I don't understand your kasha to begin with, Rami Gezel Gezel. Rabbi Akiva, in fact, disagrees with Rabbi Tarfon there in Yevamos, and he's of the opinion that he has to pay the gzeil to each one of them. So maybe our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara now establishes, I have a proof that our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon. Dekatani Allah dahi, because there's a brisa that was added to embellish the Mishnah in Yevamos, Moda Rabbi Tarfon, be Omer L'Shnayim Gazalti Lechem Mikem Mona V'Eni Days Mikem, is Shenosein L'Zeh Mona V'L'Zeh Mona. So you see that Rabbi Tarfon himself agrees that if the Gazan comes forward on his own initiative and he says to two people, I don't know from which one of you two I stole, that he has to pay for each one of them. And that's exactly our case in our Mishnah, that our Mishnah also describes a scenario in which the Gazan comes forward on his own initiative and he says, I don't know from whom I stole. So we see clearly that according to Rabbi Tarfon, Suffolk Zela, meaning the Suffolk vis-a-vis each possible candidate Nigzal, you have to get yourself out of that Suffolk, Mr. Goslin. You have to guarantee that you pay each one of them. And that reflects our Mishnah. And yet the Mishnah Yevamos claims in the name of Rabbi Tarfon that Meiniach is like Zela Beineim Umistalik. And we apply the principle of Suffolk Mamon Lakula, so to speak, Uki Mamona Becheskas More. So how do we reconcile Meiniach Zela Beineim Umistalik with our Mishnah, which is authored by Rabbi Tarfon, as we saw in the Brisa there, that you have to guarantee yourself that you get out of this stuff, and you have to pay each possible potential nigzal. There's no reconciliation over here into this explicit contradiction. The truth is, as Tosus de Katani points out, the Makshin could have asked the Kasha from the Brisa itself on the Mishnah Yevamos. How could the Brisa say that in the case of Gazalti lechem mikem is no sin lezemon and lezemon, when Rabbi Tarfon in that very Mishnah says meiniach zela beinam mistalik, and Tosfos points out that the Makshin here would rather ask a steer from a Mishnah to a Mishnah rather than a Brisa on a Mishnah. Fine, that's a technicality, but we do have a problem in sifting through Rabbi Tarfon, figuring out some sort of integral, some sort of consistent sheet of Rabbi Tarfon. And the Gemara answers, Hasam dekatavile. The difference is fundamental. There in the Mishnah Yevamos, what's meiniach gzeila beinam mistalik? That's because the Gazlan wants to know Mikra Din, according to the strict letters of the law, Dini Mamonis, do I have to pay each one of these fellas? Each one is coming to sue me for gzeila. I don't want to pay more than I have to pay. And Rabbi Tarfon says, just get rid of the gzeila, and amongst the various tovim, let them work it out, which is, as we said before, Yemunach Achiyo V'Lio. But Hacha, our Mishnah, and that's what we saw also in the Brice of Rabbi Tarfon, is Bibal Lotzisidei Shamayim. The Gazon comes out of his own initiative, and he says, you know what, don't tell me what the strict letter of the law is. I want to know that I've covered my bases. I'm protected and shielded from any punishment min HaShamayim. He's a Yirei Shamayim now. He does tshuva. And what do we tell such a person? The answer is that until he gives each one of them, each one of these possible potential nigzals, he hasn't yet gotten out of the suffix. And he hasn't potted himself up from any onus b'dei shamayim. Dekonami, the Gemara says, it's meduyak here, that in our Mishnah, we're talking about a case of bol lotzeis b'dei shamayim, dekotoni shahodo mipiatzmo. No, it's not like the case in Yevamos where the Mishnah says that that doesn't appear in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it simply says, Omer l'shnayim gazalti lechem mikem. V'ini yodea mi'ezmechem gazalti. Obviously, our Mishnah is talking about Hodal Piatzmo. He, by his own confession, Mr. Gazlan, comes forward and says, you know, get me out of this mess over here. I stole from someone. I want to make amends. Shma minah, that's clear cut, that we're talking about Bolotzeis Yidei Shamayim. Now the Gemara wants to understand the din of Rabbi Tarfon, that if he stole from one of five people and he doesn't know from whom he stole, he's Meiniach Gzeil Beneir Mistalik Omar Mar Hasam Dekatovile Valomatoin. We just finished saying that in the case of Rabbi Tarfon and Yevamos, each one of these nigzolim, or potential nigzolim, I should say, because we don't know who is the real nigzal, are claiming that mimeni gazal, that he stole from me and he owes me that money. What is the gazlan saying? What is his response? Rabbi Yudom Arav, halo shosek. The gazlan in this case says nothing. Rav Masnom Arav, halo. And here we're on the Daf Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. Tzoveach. He's saying to each one of these nigzolim, I don't know you. Literally, tzoveach means he's yelling and screaming. And now the Gemara explains the machlok. Tzmandi Omar halot tzoveach. According to that second opinion, And that's the interpretation of Rav Masna in the name of Rav. Again, the two versions of what Rav said. According to Rav Masna's version of Rav, in the case where the Nigzal is saying, I don't know you, I don't recognize you, that's where Rabbi Tarfon says, Meiniach Gzeil Beneim Umistalik Aval. But had it been Shtika, then we would interpret as Shtika Koda. If he, the Gazlan, says nothing, he's silent, then apparently he's admitting to each one of them that he stole. Again, there's going to be a machlokas mefarshim. What does it mean? That he was shosek for each one of these five, and that shtika koda damya? That doesn't make any sense. He only stole from one of them. So what we're going to have to assume is that one of them cornered him privately, and he was shosek to one of them. Shosak li'echad mehem shalob b'fnei kulam. And the question is, with regard to that one person that he was shosek, do we apply the principle of shtika koda damya, says Rav Masna? Yes, and therefore we'd have to pay him. And therefore, Meiniach Beineihem Umistalik would not apply. So therefore, how do I interpret the Mishnah of Rabbi Tarfon and his ruling that Meiniach Beineihem Umistalik has got to be a case of Tzavach? It can't be a case of Shtika Umandi Omar. And now we go back to the first understanding of Rabbi Tarfon. That's Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav. There, we're not going to, according to his opinion, we don't apply the principle of Shtika Koda. And why is that? Halah shosek shtika dahacha lav koda dimotzi omalei haidish siki lechol chad v'chad amina dilma haihu. The shtika is not because he's moda, the shtika is really because he doesn't know. He's silent because he doesn't have the gumption to tell the guy, you know, go fly a kite, I don't know you, because in fact he's not really sure, he's not certain. One more point before we end the shiur. Omar Ma, Rabbi Tarfon says, Meiniach Gzeila B'neihem Umistalik. Frek the Gemara of Ashakli Leik Lekula V'Ozli. Does he really leave it in front of them and they fight it out? And maybe they should divide it equally amongst them. And in that case, what the Gzeila is not going to go back to the Yad of the Nigzal. The Nigzal is not going to, you know, get his just repayment. V'amar Rabbi Abbar Zavdam Arav Kol Sofek Inuach L'chatchil Lo Yitol V'imnota Lo Yachzir, which means basically the bottom line is that we have to guarantee that a person gets what's coming to him, and we'll come back and explain this in just a minute. I just want to get to the Teretz of the Gemara. V'amar Rav Safra V'aniach, it doesn't mean that he literally, the Gazlan leaves it for them to battle it out, but rather what it means is that Mistalik min adin, what he does is he waits to see if there'll be any clarification. That's what the Gazlan asks. And if he sees that right now no one's coming forward to admit that it's not him, then he gives it over to Beis Din. And if you take a look at Rashi says, Dibra Maskal Omar of Safra V'yaniach, at the end of that Rashi, V'yaniach Gzeil B'fneim B'bezdin, V'yomar Biru Shalmihu V'yitol, U'mistalik Min Adin, V'agzeil Yaniach B'yodo Ad Shiyovo Eliyahu. Tam Sofer interprets this Rashi thusly, that first he leaves the money, or if it was an object, he leaves it in front of them in Bezdin, and then afterwards he takes it back, he becomes a shomer, it's his responsibility, and we say Yadok Yad Bailim, it's as if he returned it to the Bailim, because he's guarding it and protecting it on behalf of the Bailim. What did the Gemara now, if we can just retrace our steps here, what did it mean by quoting, what did Gemara gain by quoting the statement of Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Sofek Hinuach lechatchila lo yitol? So a person finds a lost object, and it has no simon, and there aren't too many people around. It's a little bit mishtameris, and it's the place where he found it. And now he can't figure out, did the person who lost it actually not lose it, but he deliberately placed it there? and his intention was to come back and take it, or maybe he lost it, maybe it fell from his hand, and therefore he should be able to take it. Yisachatchil, he shouldn't take it. Why? Because there's a possibility that the Baal put it there deliberately, he's going to come back to find it, and he won't find it. And not only that, since he doesn't have a simon, he's not going to be able to retrieve it. So to avoid that possible scenario, don't take it, lechatchil, leave it in its place. But v'im natal, if he went ahead and he took it, and now, we'll see how the Mefarshim interpret this, a person comes by and says it's his, but he can't give a simon, lo yachzir. He should not return to him this lost object, because maybe it doesn't belong to him at all, and maybe the true owner of the Bailim, the true Bailim are going to come by at some point. Again, simon they're not going to have, but maybe they'll bring Edim to testify that they placed it down, and they're going to be able to retrieve this object. Whereas if he gave it back to this person who couldn't give simonim, he was mafsi, the true, genuine Bailim. Therefore, leave it in his hands, even until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. That's only if he grabbed it, if he picked it up, he sees that he shouldn't have seized it, he should have left it there. But once he took it up, im natal, lo yachzer, but rather, teimunach biyodo ad shetovo, ad sheyovo Eliyahu. Anyway, we see clearly from this statement of Rabbi Abba Bar Zavta, the name of Rav, that in any situation where something comes into your hands and you're not clear about who the genuine owner is, you're not allowed to take it out of your hands until you can actually clarify to whom it belongs. So why here, that was Gemara's Kasha, and you have a suffix, who is the true Nigzal here, why do you have a right to take it out of your hands, throw it in front of the five and have them rack their brains or their brawn and figure out what to do with it? It should be Yei Munach, and that's what Rav Safra says, Via Niach, that Eino Chinami, the Gazlan in this case, has to be the Shomer on behalf of the person, the true Nigzal, and that's going to be the situation, Achiyovo Eliyahu. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here.